The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. This is episode 28 and the review of the Dolphins-Bills game on Sunday. Alex joining me as usual, and we are joined again by Rob. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
That's all right. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm good too. I had a feeling that you were just going to ignore me.
Would I ever do that?
It would probably benefit you and the show, yeah. But anyway.
Well, no. Unfortunately, I won't.
Okay.
So, Initial thoughts.
I think the most important question that I need to ask you and get in the heads of everyone is, if we don't score that onside kick and the score looks a lot different, do we feel any different? I mean, is the consensus right now worried, or are we just happy that we won?
I'd say happy we won. I mean, a win's a win regardless of what the score is at the end of the day. I think you're really looking at the record rather than the score, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think for this game specifically, if it's 24-21, I'd probably be pissed. Right?
Don't know. What do you think, Rob?
Excuse me. I believe I know where Alex is coming from. I think the first half and the second half were completely different. And I think if we'd have carried on in the same way that we started the first half and the second half, I'd have been more pissed. I think there's a sort of rust from the bye week. I don't think that helped us at all.
Yeah.
I'm honest. And I think it got better. And if we'd have played the full game, you know, we haven't quite seen that from the team for an entire game yet. But if we play the whole game, I think, like we finish a game, I think we'd be a lot happier with where we were. But a win is a win, you're right. But I think their performance was worrying for the first half to sort of up to sort of halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, I have a lot of notes about like Josh Allen and Brian Daboll and just thoughts about the first half. But I had a quick thought because I remember we had a listener question a few weeks ago asking about why didn't we try and score before the half. And I think this was another opportunity to ask that question. We have final drive before the half, 2:06. We go incomplete, sack, penalty, then we give up. 2 timeouts left in our pocket. Do you want to be more aggressive there?
As I said, yes. Because we know that the Dolphins had the kickoff, had deferred to the second half.
Yeah.
And when at the time you were down by five.
Losing. I don't care how much, you know, it doesn't. Yeah. I don't think the number matters. I think that you need to, in this situation, because when the listener asked that question, it was, I think we were up. It was like the Tennessee game. We were up and we didn't need to because we were getting the ball at the half. But in this situation, every sign for me pointed to go out there and try. And it sucks when you go with sack for 4 yards, then the penalty, and then we just run it. Have a better 2-minute game plan, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can see where it comes from. I say the last time when the question was asked, I said that I'd rather be aggressive going into half time because you're still building up that momentum from when you from the pretty much the last play of that second quarter. You've got that momentum built up to go out straight away in that third quarter and actually protect that lead, which ultimately we probably would have got if we had been a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I think we should have gone for those points, really. I think we, with 2 minutes to go, I think in situational football, you need to try and get momentum, as you say, on your side and score there. And I think you look at what the Dolphins had, and well, their two best secondary players were out for the game. Wilkins was ejected, first play of the game.
Yeah.
We should have been able to. Everything looked like it should have went our way. It should have been easy. I mean, and you're going to hear everyone say there's no such thing as an easy game, but when you're 4-1 and 0-5, I mean, come on. I mean, that's just not this. It wasn't supposed to happen this way, you know. Yeah. And then coming out of the half, third quarter, Dolphins start with a 10-minute drive. Leslie Frazier just did his interview today. I was listening, but I mean, what happened? You know, I mean, I think Rob, you said could it have been? You know, they were out of their routine because of the bye week, out of their flow. What it looked like to me was it looked like we looked like a week one team. Still trying to figure things out, get comfortable, get into a game flow. I feel like if we didn't have this bye week, we probably then would have blown them out. I can't say because of, you know, momentum, because that doesn't carry over week to week. But I think that, you know, the way the feel is and the flow and the routine, I think that would have changed things. But I didn't do any stats. I didn't look up like teams coming out of the bye week and stuff like that. I wish I would have. I'm just kind of having this thought right now. But like, what do you guys think about that? I mean, are we definitely going to say that this is because of the bye week?
I don't know. I saw a stat that stated that since McDermott's been Bill's head coach, they've gone 3-0 after the bye week, coming out of the bye week. So,
and I mean, we did win.
Yeah,
but it was ugly.
Yeah, but I'd say you still got that. You've got that stat that McDermott will still have them focused as if it was just another game, or the bye week didn't exist. If that ever made any sense, because to me that did make sense in my head, but
no,
not anymore.
I completely get it. I mean, you're saying that McDermott is gonna get them ready. Whether it's week one, week five, or week 17, the preparation is the same no matter what. I'm going to say it didn't look like it. We looked really flat to start the game, offense and defense.
Yeah, I think McDermott said that as well in the post-game locker room stuff that was put up on social media. He called out the first half especially and said it wasn't good enough. That would be an interesting halftime locker room, I would have thought. I think had we gone straight in after, on the back of the Tennessee game, I think we would have seen a different Bills. But you're quite right. It was in the first half, every time Josh looked deep, it was good sort of 6-7 yards overthrown. Everything just looked slightly off kilter. And I don't know if that's rustiness or they had some time off and just didn't quite click straight away. I don't know. But.
So the question would probably be then, did the bye week come at the right time, do you think?
Yeah, because in this situation, if we're going to be a rusty bye week team, then thank God it didn't happen when we played a good team coming out, you know?
Yeah. To me, yes, it was a good time because of the injuries we sustained against Tennessee and what we had.
That too, yeah.
With Singletary and Johnson. But then again, you're carrying on the momentum of obviously eventually a good win over Titans and a good opening 4 weeks bar the Patriots game. Going into a bye week, yes, you're getting healthy, but then how you want to try and build momentum, but you've got that bye week where pretty much they're going to be off doing what they want to do, obviously train and have their practices in there. But is that really at this early stage really, really good for momentum of the team? Or is it like a killer? Like we saw, we came out, we were a bit rusty in the first half, a bit rusty at the beginning of the third quarter, and then decided to pick it up.
I don't know about rust though, because I saw Knox dropping balls that he's kind of done all year. I've seen play calling that was pretty conservative. And I've seen Josh Allen missing throws that you want your quarterback to make that he does every game. So was this just a perfect storm of things just not going our way? It's really interesting to look at that. I mean, when you look at Josh Allen, 6 of 15 for 90 yards, I think that this might have just been Dable not calling the right plays to get us into a good early rhythm.
It's possible. I mean, yes, there were a couple of penalties.
Yeah. Penalties were really ugly this week.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. Okay. Allen ran pretty much the first possession. Allen ran 10 yards. Cody Ford, holding penalty, brought it back.
Yeah.
Yes, we got it. We got the yards back when DeMarco ran for 27 or took the ball 27. So we got some of those back, but you have seen, and we have seen the penalties kill us quite a lot. Drive killers, as they always are.
Yeah, I mean, I have notes about, I'll skip a few of my points. I'll go right to this, that to start the game with three field goals, I mean, it's not like it was all bad. I mean, our first three drives were solid, 44 yards, 55 yards, 59 yards. They just couldn't finish. And the thing I keep telling myself is, I mean, I wouldn't have said this yesterday, so thank God we didn't record yesterday, but that happens. You're not going to score. No one's 100%, you know, on touchdowns when you get close, you know?
Mm.
Teams will always just kick field goals. I mean, it ends, our first drive ends with a Josh Allen scramble, then an incomplete to Isaiah McKenzie, then another incomplete, then field goal. So, I mean, that is probably on Josh making the right decisions, the right, you know, throws. And then the next one, again, incomplete, and then a short pass to Isaiah McKenzie for 1 yard. I mean, that's probably the wrong read there. Or probably, I don't know. It's so hard for me to say the Dolphins did good on defense, you know, because we shouldn't be saying that because they're so poor at it. And it's, and the only thing I could think of is that our offense didn't look any different than what's currently on tape for us. And the Dolphins were just able to prepare. We didn't mix it up enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that we weren't ready because that sounds bad too. So I, there's really no way to explain this and get away with it, you know?
I think it's fair to say that our offensive output in most games has been pretty slow in the first half of games. We're a slow start, as Josh has benefited from the defense keeping us in games all the way through, and then he seems to sort of, I don't know if wake up is the right word, but he seems to switch on. So whether Brian Gable says something at halftime and it switches us something on inside him, but he comes out second half of games and he's a different quarterback. He starts to hit throws. Yeah. He starts to find the John Brown. He looks for something to settle down. And whether it's that early Brett Favre type stuff where he used to be sort of the gunslinger and go for everything and then need to get it sort of knocked out of him a bit. I don't know each time. But
Go ahead.
I was going to say he's got the character to sort of keep us there, and he doesn't give up. He doesn't quit on anything. I'm impressed with the way he comes back in games, but it seems a lot of the issues to me are caused, you know, he puts himself in holes in that first half, I guess, to get himself out of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this leads me, obviously, what I say about the way they've started and all that. It does lead me on, I'm going to bring in a question that we had from Twitter on there. Would, obviously, with Josh Allen's performance, first half, he was, as you say, 6 for 15, 90 yards. Second half, especially end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, he was 11 for 12 for, about 112 yards, quarterback rating of 130-something. Would you consider him to be a clutch quarterback with the comebacks he's got, or do you think that's just a tag we want to put on him? I'm hoping that he can replicate that fourth quarter clutch game all the way through. Would you be fair to class him as a clutch?
I don't believe in the term clutch. I think if a player's good in the fourth quarter, they're good all the time, because you have to be good to be good that in the at the end. So, I mean, when you look at any other sport, I mean, when you're good in the playoffs, when you're good in the fourth quarter at the end of any game, you look at that player's career stats or the season stats, they're good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to buy into he's clutch. I think that he's good, and the play calling at the beginning of the games is poor, and the play calling at the end of the games is better. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I think you also got to recognize that Josh is still, what, second season?
Yeah.
It's difficult to put a clutch or elite or whatever label you want to put him so early in the career.
Yeah, it's so infrequent for a guy to come out and just be a banger from the start. I mean, Drew Brees took a long time, you know? I mean, Peyton Manning's first 2 years was touchdown interception ratio was average. Same thing with Brett Favre. I mean, Tom Brady was pedestrian for the first 2 years. This is the one position that takes the most time. Mm. And I think that because we're all like, oh, Josh is our guy, we've bought into him. And we want him to be that seasoned veteran right now. And yeah. I think we're doing this to ourselves.
So you're probably then going to say then for the first quarter and third quarter, because as we mentioned on the last episode, it seems like the Bills and Allen like to play a bit more in the second or fourth quarter. You're then potentially putting the first and third quarter, especially in this game, down to the play calling of the ball rather than the actual actions and passes and decision making of Allen? Or do you put that as a combination of the ball and the receivers not catching? Because I say, didn't Dawson Knox have a couple of drop passes and obviously penalties again playing their part?
I very much believe that if Dawson Knox makes that catch, we score a touchdown there, and we're not even having all of this doubtful conversation.
But, I mean, it's an interesting discussion to have. I mean, I don't know, Rob, if you saw the Facebook chat group yesterday during the game.
I've blasted it out a few times, yeah.
I think me and Alex, I think we both were laughing our heads off and actually and trying to, how nicely can you put it?
I don't know where you're going with this guy.
Well,
if you're about to call someone out, that's rude. How dare you?
I'm not going to call him out.
We have a very animated Facebook chat and we have fun. It's just, there's a collective frustration, right?
Yeah. I wasn't going to call anyone out. I'm not that type of person to call someone out very often. but no, it's just obviously the banter, how everyone obviously wants to put it on Josh Allen. The reason why the offense is not moving, is stalling quite a lot, and there's a load of incompletes and all that. But as Rob said, he's only in his second year, as you've said on numerous occasions, he's in a second season. He's still working on the fundamentals and actually get to know the game, get up to speed. Because don't forget, this is only his 17th, 18th game.
Yeah.
So he's only just had a full season where the likes of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and all the, well, they're really the only two, because Lamar Jackson didn't come in until late, and we all know about Josh Rosen. They've had a full season and a little bit to actually acclimatise and obviously have that pace or get up to speed with the pace of it. Obviously, Josh, last season, didn't know whether he was starting or not, got injured, missed a few weeks, came back, still adjusting. But I'm just saying, are we right and other people right, not just on chat but on Twitter, certain national media and all that, thinking it's right to put it on Josh Allen for all the faults and the reason that the offense doesn't put up, what, say 15, 14, 16, 17 points in the first half?
Well, that's the position though, you know? I mean, if you can't handle it, then don't be a quarterback. And I'm not saying Josh can't handle it. He clearly can. That position will always be scrutinized, just like pitcher in baseball, just like a point guard in basketball, just like, you know, the goalie in hockey. I mean, that's the position, that's the guy on the team that needs to, you know, step up. I mean, what position would that be in you know, your football in the Premier League? Like, what position is the guy?
Well, usually it's either going to be your striker who's going to be scoring all your goals, or your goalkeeper, the one to actually to stop it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his objection, stop the ball going in. For me, when I was playing, I would say it was my position, goalkeeper, because most people will always know that. They'll always remember the mistakes you make and the goals you concede, rather than the top draw saves that potentially could keep your team in the game even if you lose. They'll always go back to the goals and the mistakes.
So if your club is starting a young goalkeeper and he has, I don't know, let's say two or three games where I won't say blow it, because Josh hasn't blown any games, but, you know, If you're playing, you know, a team that's in if you're playing as a team that's in relegation, and you only win by one goal because your goalie just couldn't get that clean sheet like he should have. I mean, are you like, oh, he's young, or are you like, oh, what the hell?
I don't know. I don't know what, Rob, your view on that. I remember you telling me that your boy's recently become a keeper.
Yeah, he has done. I think what Alex is saying there, it's a bit like Buffalo, isn't it? A lot of the fan bases react in different ways. You get sort of the ultras behind the goals who will give anyone a hard time if they make a mistake, whether they're young or whether they're an experienced keeper.
Mm.
And you get those that will sort of give youngsters a bit more leeway, shall we say. You see it at Premier League, right the way down to sort of down in my level at Exeter. And
I mean, I can probably answer that myself with the team I coach. I coach under 14 girls, so my keeper, bless her, she's when we played 11 aside a couple of weeks ago, I think she was tiny compared to the goal. So, and even on when we play nine aside, there is a big difference on there. But I've always told her just to enjoy it. Don't forget, or just ignore the fact that you've conceded a goal, five goals, 13 goals, however many goals you've conceded.
13?
Yes. We lost our last game on Saturday. We lost 13-0, but we're playing the team.
Oh, my God. Fire the coach.
No.
Fire the coach. My God.
We're playing a team that are three divisions above us in a county league, and we were in the lowest bottom division.
Fire the coach.
No, we're not firing the coach.
Everyone loves the men's game. The thing about Josh that, you know, for me, analytically, some of the deeper stats, the average stats per yard, per this, per that, he ranks in the 20 to 25s. Not great right now. He hasn't had a game or a few games where he's been able to put a complete game together. But he leads the NFL in game-winning drives. The W is all that matters.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this, we're talking about that, we're talking, is he clutch, he's young, blah, blah, blah. We're winning.
Yeah.
So if anything, that affords us and the team, the fan base, we have an opportunity to give him a break because we're winning, and people still don't want to do that, and that's frustrating to me.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you got to look at Josh and say, is he a better quarterback this year than he was last year? I think the answer is yes, he is.
Leaps and bounds, yeah. Even if he ranks 25th in a stat, last year he would have ranked, you know, 40th, you know?
And that's what you want in any young quarterback. I mean, when Josh came in, he was renowned for running and having the big arm. We're seeing less running from him. He was getting, what, 100-yard games last season because we were relying on him running too much. The offense plan has changed this year as well, so it's a different plan he's trying to put into action. It's perhaps against his natural instincts at times, but yeah. He's got that gamer mentality. I think that's what you want in your quarterback, and he will improve year on year. And like Alex said at the start, Brady wasn't Brady in the first few years of look at him now. I mean, they get better with experience, and when they see more and they've experienced more and seen more defenses and broken down what's going against them, they get better.
One talking point, obviously, he was obviously renowned and people expecting him to throw deep balls. We saw, three or four that were overshot a bit. It's another Twitter question that I'm bringing into it, cause obviously try and move into a little bit more about the offense as well as just Josh Allen. But Robert Foster, he was a healthy scratch. Now, do you think having him as well as John Brown in the 45 would actually make a difference to those long balls, or do you think it's just timing and accuracy that Allen will need to just drop to take a bit off the power on the throw?
No, because the wide receivers are getting open, so it doesn't matter who it is running the route. It's Josh who needs to complete it. And I did a statistical deep dive on Josh Allen and deep passes. There's a lot of really good references on Twitter too, like yards per pass and cover one. And I looked at his stats from college. And just suffice to say, a deep pass is a 30% maximum completion percentage.
Yeah.
He's 0-for right now. At the end of the year, he could be sitting at 30, and that's average. There's a lot of football left to go, but again, we're winning, and that affords him the opportunity, in my mind, to, hey, he's going to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, at least I could say one thing. He can nearly reach the top of the stand.
You know, when I saw him do that, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to throw his arm out. That's just, it's perfect Buffalo for him to have celebrated and then just like tore his bicep or something like that doing that.
That was the one pass he didn't overthrow,
isn't it? Well, can we toss that as a touchdown? They caught it. Well, technically it was out of bounds, wasn't it?
Yeah. I did. The person who caught it was like six rows from the press box. It's mighty impressive for only, look, I think he took like two steps into it. So that was fun. Mm. Also fun, and someone please explain this to me. If I were to have done that dance that John Brown did, all of my ligaments would have torn from my body. That touchdown celebration was unbelievable. Do we have a name for that?
I have no idea. We could probably put it onto Twitter for a name.
It would be so much fun if we had a competition to see who could replicate that. That's a horrible idea. Matt, can you just cut this? I don't want anybody asking me to do that. Let's talk about John Brown.
Yes.
I was really impressed by his game. And before the season started, where would you have put him out of the 32 teams? Where would you have put him as a number one wide receiver?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'd have him as number one, would you? Really?
No.
Going into the season.
If we're coming into the season,
the beginning of the season, we were all talking about, oh, this is a committee wide receiver group and everything. But Josh Allen has locked on John Brown, and his stats are pretty fantastic. 16th in yards for a quarterback that hasn't hit 300. That's really impressive. That's more yards than Mike Evans, Odell, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay, and Juju, but that doesn't really count, you know? He catches 73% of the balls thrown his way. That's better than DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, and even Julian Edelman.
I think coming into the season, if you were to rank the number ones of all 32 teams, I would probably put him in the probably 23 to 27 range, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Right now, he deserves to be in the top 15 conversation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, right now. Yeah. Right now, definitely in the top 15.
It's been fantastic how this has worked out for us.
I think coming into the season, I would have said it would have been a little bit lower because it, I don't think it was. Yeah, it was had like a couple of one, maybe two seasons of good play, but generally he was never seen really as an out and out wide number one.
No, he's always been behind someone somewhere. I mean, yeah. he was essentially the number one in Baltimore last year, right? I mean, but again, that just wasn't a team that kind of does that.
Yeah,
he had 1,000 yards in 2015, but that was with Fitz. You know, so he was getting open because they were covering Fitz in 2015.
I think he was a victim of the Lamar Jackson installation into Baltimore.
If he was there now, he'd probably be doing just as good, you know?
Yeah.
Because Lamar's figured it out, too.
I think he was leading very near the top of the league under with Flacco under center. And then,
yeah, in the first few weeks, yeah.
And obviously what would have been or could have been had they not changed. But that's probably what's led to him being available in the first place to come to Buffalo.
Right.
And I think but we would be probably looking at him in a completely different light if he'd had a full season and without the sort of run everything.
Unbelievable turnaround that he had from last year. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at last year, he had a 43% catch percentage. He had 715 yards. He's going to eclipse that in the next three or four games. And his catch percentage is just fantastic. By far, he's having his career year.
I think him now coming in, getting the chance to show that he can be a number one, and obviously the rapport he's had with Allen that he's actually been able to find him and constantly become the top receiver, target and yard wise on there. As I say, shows either the system is working to get him out in the open, make use of his speed and his route running on there, or it's just how he's now focused. He's come to a new club. He's actually now focused. He's been said he's going to be one of the top. He's going to be the top two wide receivers on there, and he's just someone just clicked in his head and said, it's a new chance. I've got a quarterback which I admire and I wanted to play for last season, but obviously he decided to re-sign with Baltimore. I get a chance to play with him. Let's make the most of it. That's what I'm thinking about it.
And the best thing about it is everything that we say good about John Brown is directly tied to Josh Allen, so that's a positive conversation we're also having about Josh Allen. He's got 10.5 yards per target. That's a professional football offense, you know? That's what we've been wanting for years.
Yeah, that's the point I was about to say as well, that it's John Brown's ability is making Josh look slightly better at times, because he's making catches that perhaps you wouldn't think he would make. If you go back to some of the touchdown catch against the Bengals, was it, at home?
Yeah.
He made a great catch inside and beat his man into the corner for the touchdown. And,
So I ask you this. If we compare Allen with how Darnold plays since he's come back, how Kyler Murray's doing when they're getting 300 yards, are you going to take that and actually potentially losing games, or are you going to take a Josh Allen who may not throw for 300 yards, may not even get over 260 yards a game, but is constantly finding a way to either get his receivers into position and obviously use his legs and working in a system that suits him?
Yeah, but Kyler Murray also has three duds. So I'm not about to just say just because you throw for 300 yards, you're good. I would very much like to shy away from that. People love the counting stats. Bigger numbers always look better. I mean, you see a guy who throws for 500, that would be great and everything. But yeah, I'm not ready to compare him. based off that kind of stat.
Oh yeah, I mean the idea is if you wanted to have a guy that would not constantly throw the 300 yards, whether it be Darnold, whether it be Murray, whether it be Brady, Breeze.
That's also because of the game situation. I mean, he just hasn't had to, you know?
Yeah. Rob?
This is it. I think you've got to look at the whole team. What Josh is doing is what the defense is giving him to do. We're in games. We're close to games. We don't want to be throwing the ball down the field for 300, 400, 500 yards a game, because that's usually when you're chasing the game. We're in all these games. Even the game we lost, we were in.
Yeah.
You look at Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers, two of the league leaders in passing yards. Those teams are not winning. I mean, Mahomes, that's kind of how their offense is planned out. But also, they're not, you know, I mean, they were 3-2 with him. They're 4-2 now. Who else is up there? Jared Goff is up there. I mean, that's a bad offense. Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston. I don't need to have all those yards. Josh Allen right now sits 23rd in the league. That's less than Teddy Bridgewater, and he's got less games. So we have a team, and we really have to focus as a fan base, not just us three, but the Bills fan base needs to focus on the fact that we are a right now complete team. You don't need the quarterback to do the things that those guys I just mentioned are having to do, because we don't have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, let's try and move on to defense, because I think this is probably our worst defensive performance of the season. I think we only let Patriots score 16 on us, whereas we've given Miami 21. We only had Tom Brady held to, what was it, 100, just under 200 yards or something like that. Ryan Fitzpatrick went for 282. Now, this is something that I've listened to a couple of podcasts, a couple of episodes, or a couple of articles. Do you think it is because there was no Matt Milano? I did read somewhere that the Dolphins were trying to keep the Bills on their base package so they could target Maurice Alexander. Do you think that is that, and that's the reason why the defense had that bad game? Or, again, was it the way Fitzpatrick actually managed to manage the game and actually his receivers got open?
The clear and evident answer is Fitzmagic, baby. All right? I mean, the guy will show up in flashes for games like this, but he also lost them the game, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that interception, and he had a few other duds of some throws that could have been. So, but yeah, no, you make a really good point about, you know, because the rushing game was really disappointing. Looking at Mark Walton, who, and B, you know, still not, he didn't carve us up, you know, 14 attempts for 66 yards.
It was those yards that, where they counted.
We're grinding mainly, it out, yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously you've had Preston Williams going six receptions for 82 yards. Mm-hmm. Devontae Parker, five receptions for 55 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we didn't get dissected, you know? Yeah. I mean, we're going to have some of those games. And the final touchdown drive, I mean, the game's pretty much over anyway. I mean, Fitz is just doing magic out there with that run and everything to get in. So, I mean, at that point, I mean, if the game ends at, you know, 24-14 like it should have, where there were 6 minutes left, we're probably not even having this conversation. Also, the expectations were just silly high. We wanted to shut them out. We wanted to keep them to 3 points. I mean, these guys are playing for their careers. They're not going to give up no matter how bad they are. They're still playing, you know. It's going to happen. But, yeah, Matt Milano, I would say, that's probably where the running game happened. In the passing game, I mean, Levi Wallace was targeted. And I know you said he was your MVP so far this year. But he had an off game. Yeah. I'm very certain that they'll get that fixed.
Yeah. And
I think there was a bit in that, was it the first defensive play when Ed Oliver took down the wide receiver while the running back trying to throw the ball?
Yeah,
Albert Wilson.
It's like, well, I think even at that point, expectations were like, okay, this is going to be a walk in the park.
And, of course, yeah.
And yeah, you got to give credit to Fitzpatrick. He's come out and done what he does in streaks. And some of those stats were padded out in that final 6 minutes when he's trying to throw the ball all over the field to get back in the game. And the Bills, to a certain degree, are kind of content to just let him take his time doing it.
So you're saying it's more inflated because of the situation Miami were in, hence why he went for 282 when that could clearly have been less than 250.
I don't know what he was on at half time, but obviously I think the second half there was more when the Bills started to come back into it. It then forced the Dolphins to pass it and go away from the running game, which was looking like it was working for a bit.
Yeah, their running game was setting up the pass all day. Once we got them off balance, once we scored that Beasley touchdown, I was like, all right. That was the first time I put a smile on my face. Well, the Tre'Davious White interception, but then when Cole Beasley scored that touchdown, I'm like, all right, it's over. Whatever happens after this, it doesn't matter. That's why I don't care about the Micah Hyde kickoff return touchdown. I don't care about the Fitzpatrick rushing touchdown. We sealed it then. We weren't going to blow it. I knew that. Against a better team, maybe I'm worried once that happens and everything, but yeah, it's no big deal.
So you're thinking then, obviously, looking at the defensive stats there, I mean, obviously, Milano, he's going to be covering Gesicki, is that how you pronounce the Gesicki, Miami?
Yeah, he had he needs to get the ball more. He's got to be their number one target going forward. He looked really good last night.
Because with obviously Milano in, he's going to be nullified a bit more, and the underneath game is going to be nullified. But if you're looking at the defensive stats, I mean, Lorenzo Alexander, again, he's top 10 total tackles, 5 solo tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, a quarterback hit. Then you've got...
Yeah, but also, he was in... In certain situations, Lorenzo Alexander looked his age.
Mm.
And I'm really worried about him going forward. Okay, not super worried, but he's a guy to keep an eye on as the season goes on. If the Dolphins were able to show how to run on us, maybe it's Maurice Alexander's fault. But, yeah, I mean, there were some seeds of doubt sown to yesterday.
So, yeah, because we know that we're most likely going to need, probably in the offseason or draft, we are going to need to look at that that outside linebacker position or linebacker position. Yeah, cause
absolutely.
We probably know that Alexander's going to probably said he's going to retire at the end of the season. So do you really trust Maurice Alexander in that spot? Do you really trust Julian Stanford and Corey Thompson in there? Obviously, we don't know what Roshon Joseph's like yet because obviously he's on IR. I mean, you mentioned to me, let's bring back Juwan Foggy. Let's give him a run.
Do it. Sign him. Let's go.
But no, it's I think just looking at it, all we can say is thank God for Trey White.
MVP of the team so far this year.
Obviously a half tack for loss, one interception, and then the fumble caused the fumble, which obviously Hughes returned for puts in good field position.
Yeah, we had guys all over the defense scoring really good grades from Pro Football Focus. I mean, Trey White 92, Jordan Phillips 89, Jerry Hughes 86. Those are all top 10 at the position for week 7, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we still got the job done. What they say every week, keep them to 21 and you should have a shot, right?
Yeah.
So they did their job.
All I know is that at least out of the 3 predictions I actually made in the preview show, one at least came true, which was the Ed Oliver sack.
I don't even think he's buying it.
He's buying it.
I don't think he said he said he still wants his quarterback sack. So,
well, a sack's a sack at the moment, but yeah, he's got a sack. Okay,
it's on the score sheet, yeah.
I'd
rather Ed Oliver sort of gave us more in the run game than worried too much about sacks at the moment.
Yeah. I think...
You can get pressure through the middle, but try and stop the run while you're getting there.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he had one tackle for a loss, one solo tackle, obviously the sack, and all that. So, yeah, obviously he has Star playing next to him. Obviously, Jordan Phillips came in with the... with that big...
That was so good.
They called that a fumble rather than a sack.
Fumble it, yeah.
But would you call it a sack? A strip sack?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. This is... I mean, I'll say this every show. I don't care about defensive individual stats. Mm. It's all about what you can see on film and with pressures and stuff like that. I think that when we talk about Ed Oliver being, you know, useful... I think that if he's going to get the double team, then you need to start hearing Star Latulele. You need to start seeing his name more often.
Just call him Star.
Yeah, I shouldn't have even have tried that. but yeah, you got to start seeing his name more because yeah. I mean, I saw him on the field, but I didn't hear anybody say his name. If Ed Oliver's eating up a double team, Star's got to do something to make his presence felt, and he was just very pedestrian yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, Rob... Before we wrap this up, Rob, have you got anything else to discuss or bring to the table?
Just one thing I'd like to just talk about. Although I agree with Alex that the return for the touchdown off the onside kick is kind of irrelevant in many ways. I quite like, obviously it was a lovely play, but I quite like the statement it makes to say to the Dolphins, you think you're coming back into it, not a chance.
Yeah.
Turn that door right now, go away.
It was so much fun, though. I mean, just style points all around and stuff like that that gets us on SportsCenter. The more positive media the Bills have, the better. It's great.
Yeah.
So, you're talking about players that are playing well. I think Micah Hyde and Jordan, is it the other safety? I forgot his name.
Jordan Poyer.
Yeah. So they're both having great seasons back there as well. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're both grading out. Top of their position or near the top of their position. It's been great to see what they're able to do every week. So the Bills open as 1.5 point favorites against the Eagles next week. What do you think?
If we're basing it on this performance, at least the first half performance of the Dolphins game, I would say that would be a loss. But
yeah, but look at what the Cowboys did to them last night.
Yeah, you've got, based on the first half, yes, I would say a loss. Based on what we've done throughout the season, I would say that there would be a win in there. By how much depends on how well the offense plays and the defense can.
Well, the Eagles' secondary is bad, and they just cut a cornerback. So chances are Josh is going to have another opportunity to have a game to shut us all up about doubting him.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, what do you think about next week?
I'm not sure if I'd make his favourites. I think it's part of the Flip'em game, really.
I think it'll level out to that by Sunday, I think.
Yeah, but I think the good thing from our point of view is having Devin Singletary back in this game, just to get him back and moving again. It'll be a big part of our offence for a game like that, I believe. Yeah. And having obviously coming off the bye and getting him back moving is going to be good for us. And obviously, like you said, the Cowboys destroyed them last night. Obviously, we know what the Cowboys try and do. It's not too dissimilar to what Brian Gable wants to do in running the ball with Gore and with Singletary. And we talked about John Brown. We got the opportunity to make some plays over the top if they come up and try and stop the run. So,
yeah.
But oh, it depends. Is Deshaun Jackson back for the league next week?
Doubt it. I've not seen him say he's going to be. So I think he may still be struggling. I guess it'll be a game time decision with him.
That'd be interesting if we could sort of tempt Carson Wentz to take on our backfield.
Yeah.
Get Frey White, Mark. See if we can get a couple more INTs that way.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Yeah, we got to, I mean, when we don't turn the ball over, it looks good. Let's get that turnover percentage plus minus back up there, you know?
Well, from last week when we said that when Josh Allen throws one or less, or concedes one less turnovers, he's 8-1. We can now obviously put that 9-1. And this time, apart from a few runs where he's actually, again, he didn't bother to slide, he just tries to get the extra yards, that was a probably complete form of turnover. Turnover-wise, they didn't give really the Dolphins any chance to get that interception. So that's something that we're looking
good to build off of. Yeah, absolutely.
Because tests for our O-line as well, because when people talk about the Eagles, they talk about the D-line quite often, with Fletcher Cox and stuff. And we haven't seen much from them this year, really.
It will be an interesting game. Obviously, we'll get that reviewed on Thursday. Hopefully, Rob, we'll get you back on next Sunday, Monday for the review, if you're up for that.
Yeah, we're happy to help out.
Cool. So, great. I mean, have you got anything else, Alex, Rob, anything else to add to?
I'm ready to get on to a game where we have a known challenge. I think this is the first week after, other than the Patriots, where we have a chance to really see what this team is. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so as I say, we will we'll come at you back on Thursday with a preview of the Eagles game. I think we have a special segment coming up as well, and I know Alex has been arranging that, so we'll keep that a secret for the time being. There's nothing else to say. For this time, until next time, keep subscribing, downloading, reviewing. Have a good afternoon, good evening, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills.